broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back. We are rolling along on a Friday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Paul Gallant is beside me. Our producer, Sean Mapes, behind the glass. And it's almost the weekend, guys.
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, partying. Yeah!
Yeah, it's a great song.
It was.
Actually, you know what? Let's take out ZZ Top and just have that as our show intro.
Rebecca Black? Music. Hell yes!
No, you singing it. You singing it. That'll really get the ladies going.
It will, because it's the song about Friday and how you gotta get down on Friday. And then there's that random guy who's driving like 160 miles
hated
per hour
that song.
Through a city.
Never saw the appeal.
And I think he's like 45 years old, and I don't know why he has like a guest track on Rebecca Black's song. Anyway.
So weird. All right, so the NFL draft is upon us. Within a week, it'll be happening in Las Vegas. The teams, of course, the teams will be huddled in their quote-unquote war rooms as they make these decisions. Some of the top picks will be in Las Vegas. It'll be a fun time, and for the first time in a while, the Texans have some high draft picks. They got number 3 and they got number 13 in that first round. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what Nick Caserio and Cal McNair choose to do with it.
Yeah. And they have complete flexibility here. They can do whatever they want. And I think if anyone's going to get frustrated at them, I would understand someone getting mad about them potentially drafting a quarterback just based off of everything we have heard about all of these quarterbacks. And they're not going to draft a quarterback, but you can go in any direction outside of kicker, punter, long snapper, or something of that ilk at that third overall pick, and I feel like I would be able to find a way to at least understand their decision-making as opposed to having a strong opinion on whether or not this was the right or the incorrect guy.
There's a lot of conversation around the draft every year in general, okay, like maybe too much. but there's also a lot of conversations about what method GMs and owners use. So in other words, best player versus position of need. With the Texans, Paul, it's tricky because you could argue that they need almost every position.
They do.
So if you're Nick Caserio and you're Cal McNair and you're looking at this board, when you get to that number 3 pick, assuming that you're not trading it away, do you go with a specific position or are you, hey, best position available, we're taking it?
I'm taking best player available. And I feel like they should do that indefinitely. The one benefit that they have to being a roster that outside of Brandon Cooks and Laremy Tunsil is largely just forgettable, no offense to those players, is that you can bring in somebody at any position and figure it out from there. And when you have all of these draft picks too, there's no pressure to get one thing. Where if you're a contender and you're drafting towards the back of the first round or something like that, you generally do have a specific need and you might try to fit the square peg into the round hole when it comes to getting a guy that maybe isn't definitively going to work out for you, but you're like, well, he plays a position that we need. Some teams do that. You don't have to do that this draft.
The Texans general manager, Nick Caserio, meeting with the media yesterday. I was there. It was a nice media session. He never gives too much away, but he did talk about some of the speculation and some of the things that are expected that the Texans could try to do, AKA trading away that number 3 pick for more draft picks. Not so fast, says the Texans GM. Here's what he had to say about that.
The reality is probably very few teams are going to want to come up to 3. I mean, just being honest. So, and that's okay. So probably pick at 3 and then 13, you know, could we go up? Could we go down? You know, talk to kind of, you know, I'd say over the next week or so, you're going to talk to different teams, just more about positioning, about what's their philosophy, what's their willingness to kind of move. Some teams are just set, like, we're not moving, we're going to pick. Some teams only want to move down. Some teams say, you know what, no, we haven't really thought about that, but okay, maybe we consider moving up. So I think it's important just to be open-minded and more and be flexible.
So it sounds like they're not going to move that number 3 pick, and they've had a hard time even getting anybody that would bite on it.
Yeah, and if no one's going to bite, then, I mean, what's the point? Basically, you're hoping that maybe someone like Aiden Hutchinson or Trevon Walker would slip to you at 3, but if one of those guys slips to you at 3, do you want to trade the pick away or do you want to take the guy? Because
right.
Those are the conventional 1-2 picks at this point in time, at least based off of what we're hearing. No, you want to take one of those two probably if they were to fall to you. So, yeah, it's going to be hard to move out of that spot. The 13th pick, though, I feel like they're definitely, because of just the uncertainty of how this draft board is from team to team who is number one, who's number two, and especially who's number 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, et cetera, that will be a pick that they definitely can trade.
Lots of positions of need, and this is one of the least predictable drafts in a long time. So say all of the analysts from ESPN NFL Network that talk about how there's really no clear number one, number two, not a clear top 10. It's not a Trevor Lawrence draft. It's not an Andrew Luck draft. We don't necessarily know what the quarterback situation is going to be. Will there be a quarterback in the top 10 at all? Here's what Nick Caserio said about the unpredictability of this particular 2022 draft.
I don't think there's consensus on any player. I think if you talk to different teams, you talk to different people, who's the top player at this position, there's six players, you get six different answers. So I'd say, you know, it could make it a little bit more hectic, but you have to trust your information, trust your resources, trust your preparation, trust your evaluation of the player, and then just be able to say, okay, this is how we view the player, this is what we think his role is going to be, but ultimately the player's performance is going to determine what their role is going to be. But you know, we could look. We look at some of the mock drafts, or just I'd say for more general positioning. Not well. This player is projected to go 15th overall. Well, we're picking 13th. Is he going to be there? Not necessarily. You're trying to kind of get a general vicinity or range.
I do like that he admitted that they look at the mock drafts all as well, because so many times that we don't listen to the media, we don't blah blah blah. But yeah, they do look at the mock drafts. They do see who people are predicting, because you know. When you're looking at, like, for example, somebody that worked in a front office like Daniel Jeremiah, his mock draft, he's talking to GMs. I mean, it's not just his prediction.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I wonder who will be that first overall pick. It does feel like all of a sudden that Trevon Walker out of Georgia might be overtaking Aiden Hutchinson, at least potentially. You know, I guess it's better to be in the third spot than to be in the first spot in this way. There's a lot less pressure on you when you're the third team picking as opposed to when you're number one overall in a draft class like this where, all right, well, yeah, you could get one of these pass rushers, but do you really want to pass on Ekwonu or Evan Neal, who are the other guys that are supposed to be in the top five? Do you want to build with an offensive line or do you want to build with a defensive line? And I think for a lot of people probably listening right now, you might have your own idea of what is the best way to build a team. I would say as far as success stories that we've seen recently, what's worked out? The Colts, the Cowboys, the Titans, they've all had great offensive lines over the last half decade or so. Results-wise, what has that got them? Because these are teams that I think you could point at and say, like, do they have a great quarterback? Dak Prescott would probably be the exception. Where if you look at defensive line, look at the San Francisco 49ers who had Joey Bosa. Wait, hang on. They had Nick Bosa. Mm-hmm. They had DeForest Buckner. They also had Eric Armstead. They had a bunch of guys essentially in their front seven that you could look at and say, whoa, hang on now. And maybe that's the way that you are supposed to go. Maybe it is you build with the front seven defensively first as opposed to the offensive line. Because the teams that have really heavily invested in the offensive line, the results have not necessarily been there.
Meanwhile, NBA playoffs continue to happen. Warriors go up 3-0 on the Nuggets. Do you think Steph Curry is going to keep coming off the bench? He scored 27 points last night. He's been on fire.
It's working. And I mean, if you want to manage his minutes, absolutely. I will say this, though. Denver's just not. Denver and Utah, they're both in the mountains, and they're both just frauds. You know, I don't.
Coming from someone who worked for a Mormon station.
Yes. Look, the Nuggets have just Jokic. That's it.
Yep.
And the Nuggets, I just don't see how anyone was going to beat Golden State, honestly, in this round. Like, Golden State's one of the teams in the Western Conference that I expect to be there at the very end, assuming that Curry's healthy. And then with Utah, too. Utah, they seem like they hate each other. Donovan Mitchell doesn't want to be there.
The chemistry is definitely not there.
Right, exactly. So
Devin Booker out with a grade one hamstring strain for the Suns, likely out 14 to 21 days.
That's big.
A huge loss.
That is big for Phoenix. I still think Phoenix will be fine for the first round, but what happens in the second round?
I do think they'll be fine in the first round. I think they will roll, but this is a big deal. If you saw the first half that Devin Booker had the other night and what he brings to this team, they need him.
He's the main reason they had the number one seed. I mean, Chris Paul's presence has definitely changed things in Phoenix, but I mean, Devin Booker, God, I love him. And yeah, that's a big loss to have. Hamstring injuries too, you know, they can re-aggravate themselves. And it's always tricky with that 14 to 21 day rest period. It's not an exact science as far as getting that guy back out on the court.
Looks like Charlotte just fired their coach.
Ooh, I don't even know who that guy is.
Hornets? We have ESPN back.
Bobby Borrego. I'm just going to make up a name. I don't even know who that is. Oh, James Borrego. My bad.
But you weren't too far off by this very generic name. Chris Middleton out for the rest of the Bucks-Bulls series, which is tied 1-1.
So, look, that's a big loss for Milwaukee, but Chicago stinks. I'm sorry. They have been...
They won the one game, and that might be all that they win.
They got DeMar DeRozan scoring 41 points in that game, too. I'm sorry. That's just not going to affect that series. Chicago had a great start to the year, and then since the great start has been like around a 500 basketball team. So, yeah, I don't see that happening.
All right, that's your NBA recap. I'm very excited for the next segment because I love me some travel plans. I love meeting up with my other girls that cover the NFL in different cities, and we should know in early May, a couple of weeks, where the Texans are playing.
Ooh,
vacation plans.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Nashville. I believe in Nashville. That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
And we're rolling along on a Friday. If we know one thing, it is that the NFL, we've talked about this a couple of times throughout the past months, they have a way of inserting themselves into every week of major sports, whether it's the NCAA tournament when Tom Brady unretired, the NFL Combine, which was happening during the lockout. Nobody cares about anything except football is essentially the long and the short of it.
Super Bowl / playoffs, January, February, NFL Combine, February, free agency, March, NFL draft and the build-up to the draft, April, and then May, since there's nothing really happening, and technically the NFL likes to be like, well, we're kind of in April and we're kind of in May. We're a little bi-curious here with where we place the NFL draft. Then in May, you have the announcement of the NFL schedule, which is funny because you actually do know what teams your team is going to play.
We already know that, but we don't know when.
Basically 4 years in advance, too. In a way, some of it changes, of course, depending on what your record is. But it's just a couple of games in conference. You play whoever else in conference finished in the same spot at the division as you did. But yeah, mid-May is generally when we get the NFL schedule. And we're going to get the NFL schedule in mid-May.
May 12th. There is no other league where where the calendar release day is as big of a deal as the NFL.
You would think baseball would try this because it's when baseball announces their schedule essentially like Saturday morning at 3 a.m. and stuff.
As always with baseball, they're behind.
Right.
And the social media teams, like the Astros social media team does a good job of hyping it up and trying, but the actual league itself.
Yeah, okay.
No, they do. I mean, the Astros try.
Okay, fair enough. I honestly don't know. The funny thing is, when it comes to the schedule release, it's so funny how much the NFL blows it up. Because it's really just an announcement of games. And they'll do like a complete breakdown on the NFL Network. I remember when we had the schedule announcement, it would essentially take place right as I was about to go to the air doing the night show at the flagship. And they're like, all right, you get to announce every single one of these. And I just thought to myself, well, that's kind of stupid. I mean, that doesn't really interest me that much. It's not really much of a conversation. It's just me reading off a list.
But everything Texans related at that station is a big deal.
You could say that. Yeah.
All right. So here's what we have for the Texans. Home games next year. We already know, of course, Colts, Jags, Titans.
And this is where we want these games to be played? Is that what we're trying to
figure
out?
Well, let's just start by listing off home and away
okay,
for 2022. Fun. So Colts, Jags, Titans, of course, home and away. And then you have Commanders at home.
Oh, thank God. It's not at that dump of a stadium.
The good. Chiefs at home, the Chargers at home, okay. Eagles at home, and hello, Cleveland Browns. Now, will Deshaun be suspended at that point? Will he be playing? We don't know, but the Houston Texans at NRG Stadium host the Cleveland Browns.
I want that game first.
Tribute video or not?
Hell
but
no.
If you have it first, he probably won't be playing because he'll be suspended.
Oh, shoot. Right.
So you want the Browns
damn it.
Later in the season when we think he'll be back.
But here's the problem. You want it as soon as possible because collective indifference is going to once again set in to the point where there's not going to be many fans in the stadium by the end of the year. This is not going to be
They'll come back for a Deshaun game. I think even I think you'll have fans. Oh, absolutely, Texans fans.
Week nine, Sunday Night Football, Deshaun Watson's first game back from suspension.
Zero chance
the Texans. NRG Stadium.
Sean, there's no chance the Texans have one Sunday Night Football game.
Maybe
year.
Monday night, Thursday night.
It'll probably be like a Thursday night game. Yeah,
the
let's
NFL
be honest.
Will try to at least blow
people,
it up.
And then people won't be able to get to the stadium because of traffic, and it'll be empty well before it, because that's what happens generally when you have the games on Thursdays at NRG, because it's a mess to get down there. I would rather, okay, fine. Yeah, that's a good point that he's probably not going to be there. So of all these home games, I want the Chiefs game to be first.
Okay.
Because, again, this is, I think, the one game where the crowd will actually be awake and potentially have an impact on the game. That's it. I think as the season progresses, there are going to be less and less people at the stadium, culminating in what you saw last year where it was all Houston-based Tennessee Titans fans, the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life.
It was pretty bad. Yep. Away, they have the Cowboys, Broncos, Raiders, ooh, Giants, Bears, and Dolphins.
Oh, they're playing up in Dallas. I'm going to have to make a trip up
the
to Dallas then.
The Dallas, I think I've never actually been to a
Jerry World's
Cowboys
fun.
Game. I would like to go to
it's
Jerry World.
In the middle of nowhere and far away from Dallas, so that part sucks. But it is a, I think, very cool place to watch a game.
I am excited because whenever they play the Raiders, I'm going to try to go. I haven't been to Vegas since college. I'm overdue for a Vegas trip.
Yeah,
so
I went three
times
last year.
I'm going to try to make it to the Raiders stadium.
Yeah. You want this to take place, again, in the fall.
Yeah, not cold.
You need to have the ability to go to a pool party in Vegas.
Yes.
I don't care what you want. I don't care what anybody wants. I know what I want. And if I were to go to Vegas in September... I want to go to the pool party.
So I don't want the Raiders in the winter. I would rather have. Here's the thing with the
Vegas is cold in the winter, underratedly cold.
With the Giants, you could argue that the New York weather would be a lot better in the fall as well.
True, but there's a part of me that with all the games that they are playing on the East Coast and slash in places that could be cold, I want snow. So Giants and Bears, I would like to have those games in December because it's fun to watch snow on television. I'm not going to those games. Denver, too.
I may go to Chicago because I have a sister in Chicago. Okay. So I would want the Bears game in the fall.
Okay.
But this is an interesting slate when you talk about scheduling and the Texans schedule in general, think about the fact that, and the other quarterbacks that Davis Mills will be facing. And when you look at these teams... When you make a record prediction, what do you see? What's your early impression of how could they? You know, we know they're probably not going to beat the
They have the worst quarterback in every single game outside of against the Giants and against the Dolphins.
Right.
That's it. And I, with that in mind, I think it's pretty fair to assume
it's going to be ugly.
Three,
again.
Four, five wins. Yes.
It's going to be another ugly year.
Yep.
But I am excited for the NFL schedule release, not only to plan trips, but to see who will be at NRG when. And again, if the NFL knows what they're doing with the entertainment value, they put that Browns game at the back of the season so that Deshaun Watson potentially can serve his suspension, assuming that it's not going to be a full season, and play at the back end.
I just saw that Philly's here.
Yeah, I have that.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a home game for Philly.
Oh, God, they're the worst. Philadelphia fans.
But Jalen Hurts, a local kid.
Cool. I don't want Eagle fans here. I'm sorry. I have enough in my family to deal with. I don't want to be walking around NRG Stadium with a bunch of people wearing Donovan McNabb jerseys that are overpronouncing their O's. Hey, you don't have any hoagies in your stadium, dude. You don't have any hoagies here. What's wrong with you? You stupid Texan. Like that stuff. I don't want to deal with Philadelphians.
Right.
I know I will hear that. It's like, you clown, eat the brisket sandwich. There's brisket here.
You do have a lot in your family and your
They are so chirpy. And since I am now in Houston, I know the Texans will lose to the Eagles and they will give me nonstop crap. They were all when the Texans played the Eagles a couple of years ago and Jadeveon Clowney basically like assaulted Nick Foles for the majority of that game, like tackled him by the face mask and like punched him in the face, essentially. It was great. I loved it because Nick Foles hurt me in a Super Bowl. So I thought it was funny. And my mom was like, Jadeveon Clowney was mean. And my mom is not an Eagles fan, but she was tempered. But all of my Eagle fan relatives, they're all like, Jadeveon Clowney should be shot. And I'm like, what? Like, Jadeveon Clowney, dirty player. Because he also hit Carson Wentz in a playoff game with the Seattle Seahawks,
yeah,
too. So everyone, I just don't want to deal with the Philadelphia Eagles fans here. Sorry, I don't want to.
Well, if you talk about the Texans choking, potentially choking in a few of those games, what are the sports organizations that you expect to choke? You brought this up. I thought it was a really good topic. And it kind of relates to the NBA finals, but certainly, unfortunately, when we talk about the Texans, there's choke-worthy moments as well.
Yeah. There's too many.
Gosh. There's a lot.
I'm just thinking about the horror.
I'm one that at this point, and it's so fresh that I expect the Browns to choke.
I do too.
That's an organization where I always think that they're going to choke, other than that playoff win with Baker.
You know, here's a kind of good one, the Chargers.
Ah.
The Chargers have found ways to blow games, and we saw a bunch of it last year. I mean, shoot, how did they lose? I know they had a bunch of guys with COVID last year, but how did they lose that game to the Texans? Like, the Texans thumped them, and that basically was – that started their, all right, we're not going to be making
That's
the playoffs
point.
This year, huh? Are we? Like, that was pretty much it. It's hard to top, though, just the Minnesota Timberwolves. I mean
– that was ugly.
How do you end a game – on the wrong side of a 50-16 run? And we're talking like with 3:27 to play left in the third quarter, they were winning that game by 25 points. And they still blew it. And that's exactly on brand for the Minnesota Timberwolves, who might be the worst organization in all of American sports. You could argue that, because this was their first home playoff game in like 3 years or so, too. It's hard to think of one that's like worse than Minnesota.
How much of that is on Karl-Anthony Towns?
Oh, a lot. He's not a tough player. We saw, what was it, the playoff series with the Rockets and Timberwolves a couple of years ago? Like, he was getting pushed around. He's just not. He is one of those guys here. If you go play pickup basketball, there will be every now and then a guy who's like 6'5", foot six, who, you know, if that guy just posted himself down low, he's going to get you 20 points. Like, he's going to help your team win 7 games in a row. But there are some of these guys who are like 6'5". They refuse to go plant themselves in the post, and they think that they're like 3-point shooters and stuff. And they stand to the outside and they don't crash the boards. And that's essentially what Karl-Anthony Towns is to me.
Someone on the text line, 8489, said Dolphins equal choke city. I think the thing with choking, though, is that you have to have an expectation to win in order to choke,
yeah,
right?
Like,
you have to be leading the majority. I don't know that the Dolphins lead that much in the games that they play.
I don't think of the Dolphins as blowing it. I just think of the Dolphins
as not being good.
I mean, I've seen them have a couple of pretty traumatic wins. Remember that win over the Patriots they had a couple of years ago where they had all the laterals and stuff? I don't think of them as choke artists. I think of them as a bad organization. But no, they're not the Clippers, you know?
Yeah.
They're not what Philadelphia, the Sixers, have been for a long period of time. That's a different realm that they're in.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. Is it Super Bowl or bust for a certain team in the AFC? Plus, who is an athlete, a professional athlete, that you would never mess with? Coming up.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it sounds cliche, Super Bowl or bust. You hear it all the time, and you're going to hear it a lot with some of these AFC teams, whether you're talking about the Chiefs, whether you're talking about some of the ones that reloaded, made big trades. And one of those teams is the Buffalo Bills. They obviously are in a very difficult place to get to the playoffs, get to the Super Bowl. But GM Brandon Bean did some interviews over the weekend and talked about basically how he doesn't think it's kind of Super Bowl or bust. He said they need to focus on what we can improve, not losing the overtime coin flip.
Yeah, you're wrong, dude. You're totally wrong. It's all about Super Bowl or bust. You know, we were talking about organizations in the last segment that we expect to choke.
Yeah.
The Bills historically have been one of the worst. Last year, I'm not going to fault them for losing in that back and forth game with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, that was a coin toss.
It is a little embarrassing that coin tosses have now become like offensive to teams. Oh, I didn't get a fair chance
because
of a coin toss. Yeah, so now all of a sudden we're changing the overtime rules. But the Bills are Super Bowl or bust, 100%. If they're not, I mean, what kind of expectations do you set for yourself? If you don't make the Super Bowl this year, or if you don't make the AFC Conference Championship this year, then what are you doing? And you haven't done it yet. And this Bills team, I think, has a good coach in Sean McDermott, has a great general manager in Brandon Bean, has a great quarterback in Josh Allen, has a great wide receiver in Stephon Diggs, has great defensive players. What's your bleeping excuse? You're the favorites right now. You can't say that it's not Super Bowl or bust. It has to be.
And if you're... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it. All I'll say is, if you're saying that at a press conference, Vanessa, I'd be pissed off hearing that if I'm one of your fans.
If you're a Bills fan, and we know that they have a lot of them. When you look and kind of take inventory of Josh Allen and where he's going and his skill set, Tyreek Hill isn't with the Chiefs anymore. I mean, if you're the Bills and you see that move, it's like,
great point.
Hell yes. There have been a lot of moves made in the Bills' favor. They've tried to give him every weapon possible, and I think, kind of like we talked about a couple of segments ago, it's been the up and up. He's been an NFL late bloomer, but the training wheels are off, and it's time for them to produce. And it, you know, when they're investing as much money, and then look, some of this doesn't matter. This is very, very big picture, but them getting approved for the new stadium. I mean, they're
bleeping over their taxpayers. Yes. They're throwing their taxpayers through a folding table.
This is something that people are going to think about when it's, okay, the Pegula family, you're putting all of your time, thought, money, resources into a new stadium.
Yep.
Are you focusing too much on that instead of making sure every single detail is pinned down so that the Bills have the best chance in this window to win a Super Bowl? They're bringing in Von Miller. Mm-hmm. They're making these moves. So to me, it is absolutely Super Bowl or bust, because we've seen that the Chiefs are not perfect. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs showed us last season that they can go through spurts and that they can go through quote-unquote slumps, because remember, it was early in the season last year, maybe more towards the middle of the season, where the Chiefs weren't doing well. So to me, this is absolutely the time in the year.
You run that division right now. I mean, look, the game between the Patriots and Bills, that was the Monday Night Football game where the wind was all freaky. That's one thing. But if you watch the last two games that they played against New England, the Patriots had no answer for Josh Allen. And I don't see the Patriots all of a sudden stumbling their way into an answer for Josh Allen in the draft, or over the past couple of weeks, we haven't seen that either. You know, they've been bringing back some of the old usual suspects. The AFC East is yours right now, and for the foreseeable future, it is yours. Barring some dramatic leap from 1 year to year two by Mac Jones, which I don't know is going to happen. So you are the favorites in the AFC. It's disingenuous to say it's not Super Bowl or bust.
I completely agree, and if you're a Bills fan, you certainly don't like hearing that. All right, meanwhile, we've talked a lot about Deebo Samuel ad nauseum, but we did hear for the first time from his quarterback, one of his quarterbacks as of now, not Trey Lance, Jimmy G. Jimmy G was on Sirius. He does look like Aladdin.
He looks a lot like Aladdin.
Very attractive. I like that Subway commercial with his mom.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's a cute one.
It's funny because his last name's Italian, and it's like, hey,
yeah,
I like Italian food. I go to Subway.
It's a little cultural appropriation-y, but Subway reaches.
Need more of that.
Jimmy G was on Sirius XM the other day and talked about yesterday, actually, and talked about the situation with Deebo Samuel and how he feels about the dual running back wide receiver.
I don't know the exact what is going on behind the scenes, what the reasons are for everything, but you know what they would be getting in Deebo is one of the best players that I've ever played with. Honestly, one of the best football players, one of the best guys I've ever played with. Just, and I've been with Deebo since he was a rookie, so I've seen him, you know, evolve and grow. Just the way that he sets the tone, though, for us in practice, in the game, in the meeting room, whatever it is, the dude just, I mean, he puts his heart into it, and you got to appreciate a guy like that. Just a teammate that's willing to put it all on the line for you, and however this whole thing works out for him, he deserves his money. He's gonna get it one way or another.
That's an endorsement, and it's certainly not a he has to stay here and I'm going to be so devastated if he leaves. That is a, hey, if the Jets can pay you, if the Cowboys can pay you, and if the trade works out, go get your money.
It's a tricky spot to be in because you don't want him to leave, but you also want to imply that you want your teammate happy.
And who knows if Jimmy G is going to be there.
That's another great point. You have no clue if Jimmy Garoppolo is going to actually be there for the start of the year, because it does, at least based off of some rumors that we've read, seem like Trey Lance is going to end up being made the starter at some point during this offseason. But we'll see. Again, Lance has to make progress, and it didn't seem like he made a lot of progress last year. Otherwise, they would have benched him halfway through the season, sort of the same way that the 49ers did back in the day with Alex Smith moving him to the side and then putting in Colin Kaepernick, who had that great 2 year stretch that he had. Circling back to Garoppolo on this one, you have to say things that are going to maybe make it feel very welcome for Deebo Samuel in spite of whatever it is that he and the 49ers can't agree on. I really don't know what's going to happen on this one, because part of me feels like he has no leverage here, but could it get to a point where the 49ers feel like, hey, we can't rectify this situation? then they maybe decide to move on from him and get a million draft picks in return, seeing as they traded so many for Trey Lance. Maybe that indirectly affects it, trade that they just made.
And I think that although Trey Lance needs a weapon, and I don't think from that perspective it makes sense to trade him, if they really want to give him what he wants, the Jets are the perfect opportunity. Remember, he worked with Robert Saleh at the 49ers. Saleh is now leading the Jets. And there are teams like the Cowboys who parted ways with Amari Cooper. Zeke's not doing what he's... I mean, there are teams that would love a Deebo Samuel. The question, of course, would become if he does not want to do the dual role anymore. You know, is that what the teams are going to want?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to pay him if he's not doing the dual role anymore, though.
There were some theories about Deebo Samuel that caught your eye.
Yeah, one of them made me laugh. It was just on ProFootballTalk.com. And I always like to go to the comment sections online because they get so violent. But one of the theories was maybe Deebo doesn't want to play in California anymore, which is just... I mean, on a tee, setting it up for certain folks to just dump on California, which, by the way, you know, having driven through there on the way back from Seattle to Houston, yeah, I can kind of see why. You're like, oh, well, yeah, Deebo Samuel doesn't want to be taxed, of course. Oh, yeah, Deebo doesn't want to deal with the liberals. Yeah, it's funny, like, that these are being thought of as factors as why he'd want to force his way out of town, his political leanings or something like that.
It's also the biggest reach that I've seen, because it's not a state where people... Now, again, minus the taxes thing, it's not a state where people are like, oh, I hate the weather in California. I hate the environment.
But, no, people are leaving California in droves.
Yeah, but not pro-athletes.
I don't know.
No, they're really not, though. Like, they're literally not leaving California. Like, regular people are leaving California and moving to either Houston or Phoenix. That's a fact.
You're going to eat your words when LeBron James leaves again.
Because he doesn't want to be around the libs?
Yeah. LeBron James hates liberals.
This is the definition of a reach, and I hate things like this. I actually saw Amy Trask, who, of course, spent a lot of time in the front office with the Raiders, talking about how there are some players that don't like where they get drafted to, and then they try to adjust after as their rookie contract is coming to an end and they become a free agent. But him not wanting to live in California was one of the biggest reaches that I've seen. Meanwhile, if you want to get knocked out by an athlete, Paul.
Oh, God.
You probably don't want it to be Mike Tyson.
No. In fact, why would you talk to Mike Tyson?
Why would you entice him into any sort of confrontation?
I would say, just Vanessa, why would you talk to Mike Tyson?
Like, even speak to him.
Mike Tyson, if he speaks to you, okay. You going out of your way to speak to Mike Tyson, that's dangerous.
Yeah, as a woman, I think I'm staying away from that one.
Now, fair point. Now, imagine that you're on a plane, sitting behind him, possibly intoxicated, and you aren't going to shut up. So we didn't see all of the video of this, but I saw this on an Instagram account called Passenger Shaming.
Okay.
So it shows a couple of clips of this absolute jabroni-looking, like, frat dude. No offense to the frat dudes. This guy just looks like the epitome of the worst. Some sort of salesman who's selling, like, as part of a pyramid scheme or something like that.
He was a teak in college at, like, sure. Some private college.
I won't even get specifics. Oh, wow, a private college now. We're just taking some shots. He might have been in a private college, whatever. He seemed like a giant douche. Anyway, he goes and he's behind Mike Tyson, and this guy's filming his interactions. A separate person, a third party who is sitting across the aisle from them, is filming the interactions. So you see one video where he's talking. You see another video where he hasn't shut up. And then the third video is Mike Tyson is just wailing on him. And there's someone trying to step in the way and stop it. And then there's the last video is a picture of this guy from the side, and he's got some cuts on his face, and he has like a big frown on his face too. It would be kind of cool to get beaten up by Mike Tyson and not die, but you have to be so damn careful when it comes to annoying people, and especially someone like Mike Tyson.
The video is incredible because Mike Tyson, let's make one thing clear. If Mike Tyson actually hit any human being with full force, they would die. I don't mean that they would be in a coma.
Yeah.
I don't mean that they would have a chance of survival. I mean, Mike Tyson, if he hit you with his full strength,
probably,
you would be deceased. I don't even know if it's a probably, because you're talking about one of the greatest. Like,
I'd like to think I'd just be knocked out and have severe brain damage.
You would die. Yeah.
Okay, good to know.
When you watch Dateline and you see these, like, 5'8 men that are able to kill their wives with a couple of punches.
You sound so excited right now talking about this.
I love Dateline. But when you see these like little guys on Dateline that are able to kill their wives with a couple of punches, and then
stop sounding turned on.
Put Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson would kill you
yeah.
with one punch. So he was taking it easy on them, and I say that to put in perspective. Even Mike Tyson taking it easy on this guy was really scary.
Yeah.
How drunk do you have to be to think that you can take on Mike Tyson?
I don't think he wanted to fight Mike Tyson. I think that this idiot like really thought that he wasn't being annoying. And when we're drunk, I think very often we don't know quite how annoying we are.
Sure. Been there. According to TMZ, as of 1:21 p.m., the San Fran police tells TMZ Sports, officers did respond to the scene and did detain two people they believe to be involved in the incident.
Oh, boy.
Cops added, though, after one of the people was treated for non-life-threatening injuries, that the person provided minimal details of the incident and refused to cooperate further, meaning the person did not want to get Mike Tyson arrested.
And maybe he knew he was in the wrong.
Which was a really good move to not get Mike Tyson arrested.
Yeah, because it's one of those things. Look, guys, if you're on a plane, how many people want to talk to somebody else when you're on a plane?
Never.
I never want to. If you're very friendly and nice, maybe. If you're an attractive woman sitting next to me, well, actually, hang on. That's a different story. If, though, I'm on a plane, generally, I don't want to talk to anyone. I just want to sleep, watch a movie, and I don't want anyone to bother me. So imagine you're a celebrity. You deal with this all day long, and you're on a plane, and you're trapped for 4 hours flying somewhere, and you got to deal with this jackass behind you.
He should have taken a private jet. But we do know that
I don't know if he can afford. Mike Tyson might be too broke to afford a private jet. But he was in business class.
Interesting.
It was first class, too. Like that's the other part about this. Like, imagine seeing this and you're sitting in first class. That's the best.
So it is some douchey lawyer.
That would hey, it doesn't have to be a lawyer. Come on, donate on our lawyers.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, you got to hear this comment from Charles Barkley. And then we take you through our garbage time segment. That's next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
When a guy's banging you, you spin off of him. Those are the worst defenders to play against, actually, because if you can feel their body, come on.
18 points for Joker, only Nugget in double figures.
Charles Barkley, we're all 12-year-olds at heart, right? Like, let's just call a spade a spade.
Yeah, and when a guy's banging you, you just roll off it, right? Yeah. I wouldn't know, but I mean, that's what Charles Barkley's talking about. When you're out on the court, like sometimes you get banged.
Inside the NBA, it's
you
the
feel
best.
Their body.
You do feel their body when a guy is banging you. Anytime Charles why is it funny when I say it?
I don't know. I wouldn't know anything about that.
It was funny when Charles Barkley said it. Anytime Barkley or Shaq say something like that, it is very funny.
That show is fantastic. It's
the chemistry
so good.
Is unbelievable. The way that the four of them complement each other, and they're so different, but it just works.
It's also just fun. I'm sorry, I don't want X's and O's.
No,
there's such a movement towards that we've been getting these days, especially online. I'm just
a movement towards people breaking things down so heavily.
Right, and look, thank you for breaking it down for me, but spare me. I'm sorry, I don't give a damn. You know, I like watching sports. I don't need it to be explained to me like it's all of a sudden English literature class. I'm done with AP classes. I'm done with all of those classes.
It's better when you talk about the storylines and the people surrounding it.
Or just laugh at stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Like that.
Speaking of stupid stuff, Paul, it is time for our new segment called Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah! I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Nice. That's the first time we've heard that. I love it.
Fantastic. We even got the trash man in there. Hell yeah. Some Danny DeVito. Let's go.
What's wrong with peeing in a drain?
Nothing.
I've had to pull over. I've peed in some weird places.
Well,
I have to pee a lot. And I've peed in some weird places. What's wrong
with
peeing in a drain?
Where's the weirdest place you've peed?
On my 22nd birthday in the behind a bar,
okay,
squatting in a really nice outfit.
That's not weird. That's
not
normal.
Terrible.
Right.
I'm trying to think of where. I mean, I've peed a lot on the side of the road. I've peed in a cup in my car.
Okay.
When I was getting ready to cover a softball practice here in town.
Cool.
And I pulled my car over to somewhere that's not a school because obviously,
yeah,
you can't get caught peeing in front of a school. So I moved my car to the proper place. But I'm the kind of person where, like, when I have to go, I have to go. So I pulled it over into, like, a supermarket parking lot and peed in a cup.
Okay.
Which is challenging for a woman, but I got the job done.
Confirmed. Girls do pee. We just learned that.
Yeah.
Right now.
Oh.
On this radio program.
I have IBS, baby. I do more than pee.
Okay. The worst place I almost went to the bathroom, mm-hmm, I was outside of a bar. I realized, crap, I got to go to the bathroom. And I walked around the corner, and I was about to go, and a flashlight shines up on me. He says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Nothing." And I just walked back, and I held it for another 30 minutes.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I got caught. I got caught in the almost act of going to the bathroom. But this story...
Yeah, somebody did get caught.
Yes.
And you think this is BS.
Ex-Detroit Red Wings Zamboni driver Al Sobotka, no relation to Frank or Ziggy Sobotka, was fired for peeing into a drain. According to a lawsuit that Sobotka is filing against the Detroit Red Wings, he's been diagnosed with benign prostatic hypertrophy, which causes a frequent and uncontrollable need to urinate.
That's
nice job, lawyer, putting that out there. Whether that's true or not, that's a nice spin zone. On February 2nd, he drove one of the Zamboni machines into its garage. The nearest bathroom was 60 to 70 feet away, so Sobotka used one of the drains that led into a sewer designed to handle the ice runoff from Zamboni machines. It's closed to the public, and access is limited to the all-male ice crew. He was urinating between two Zambonis when he was seen by a male employee. 2 days later, he was fired. No harm, no foul. It wasn't in public. One person saw him. One person snitched. He peed into a drain for runoff. Al Sobotka deserves justice.
I actually don't think it was that big of a deal.
I don't either.
And when you do have a condition where, this is actually serious, when you have a condition where you have to go a lot, let me tell you, you do not need people shaming you.
I don't know if I believe that he has a condition, though.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? Even if he doesn't, who
cares?
Yeah,
even if he doesn't, like, so he peed in a place where water normally flows. Wastewater, by the way, normally flows. It's not like it's going into the tap. And so, yeah, and you just went, and one guy happened to walk by.
I'm with you on that. I don't think it's a big deal. And the one guy who snitched on him, I mean, he must hate Al Sobotka.
Like, oh, yeah.
Right, he must hate him. There's something about Al Sobotka that rubbed him the wrong way, because he wanted him fired.
You don't become the chief Zamboni driver for a hockey team without making some enemies.
Chief Zamboni driver. Meanwhile, a recent study says that 1 in 8 vegans would never consider even dating a vegetarian. So a vegan, somebody that won't eat any meat products, products from an animal at all, no chicken bone broth, no eggs, won't even consider dating a vegetarian, somebody that just simply won't eat meat. Would you date somebody that had different, like, eating ethical habits as you?
No, I honestly don't care. Just don't tell me how to eat.
Gotcha.
Really. Now, some people do force that upon you, but if someone's going to bring me a bleeping pamphlet every single time I eat a ribeye...
Don't need that.
No, sorry. I'm going to, like Al Sobotka, I'm going to go pee on that pamphlet.
Meanwhile,
no drain there.
No drain, yeah. None whatsoever. I don't think I could date a vegetarian or vegan because I love meat so much.
Yeah.
Like, I love, like...
Meat.
Yes.
The meat sweats.
I love meat. meanwhile, yeah. Meanwhile, a massive brawl. Okay.
We're better than inside the NBA.
I'm marking that, and that'll be a drop for Monday.
Very different kinds of meat. Lean meat, fatty meat.
Oh.
Meanwhile, a massive brawl broke out in the Wrigley Field bleachers, and it ended with the first ever delay due to a shoe. It was a shoe delay.
Yeah, a shoe got thrown onto the field. That's how bad the brawl was. I gotta say, if you're getting into a brawl in the bleachers, you better be 22 or younger.
Yeah.
And even then, and it's weird, this used to happen at Fenway Park. I remember one time my mom got tickets for me and my best friend Mark. We were sitting in the outfield, right field of Fenway Park, And my mom was very nervous about the crowd that was around us. I thought it was hysterical because they're all like swearing and
That's
saying
what moms
horrible
do.
Things.
They get nervous.
Right. And I don't blame her for getting nervous because obviously it was a bad, you know, influence on my sense of humor. And perhaps some of the jokes that I heard there I was just making moments ago. But it's got to be so weird to see a brawl take place in the bleachers because everyone, like, you just move away, right? I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, a shoe fell onto the field from that brawl. And it was like pretty far up in the bleachers too.
All right. As our garbage time segment continues, Earl Thomas aiming a comeback after a couple of very active off seasons. we are family.
Yeah, he and his brother, they had themselves an experimental time. Not with each other, of course.
Thomas, of course, a Texas native, former Longhorn star selected by the Seahawks in the first round of the 2010 draft, spent 9 years with the Seahawks, and would like to make a comeback. He said that he has been working out, and for Adam Schefter, said that he wants to resume his NFL career. "I'm ready," Thomas texted Schefter. "I'm in shape. My timing is on point. I'm proud of that."
Great player. Everyone hated him in Baltimore.
Bad.
Imagine that a marginal player can go up to your coach and say, "Yeah, we don't like this potential Hall of Famer. We want him gone." He gets cut, and he hasn't had a job since. Something's wrong. Something's up there. He must
absolutely
suck.
We got him wanting to come back. We got Kaepernick wanting to come back. Time will tell. All right, that's another episode, another week, actually, of an SN Gallant.
Huzzah!
Don't pee in drains.
Unless
respect
no one sees
people's
you.
Meat preferences.
Definitely do that.
Don't make Mike Tyson mad. Up next, you got the Killer Bees. Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham. That's next. Stay tuned, guys.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.